Okay, good evening, everybody. This is, we're holding here in the middle of the Derech Eitz Chaim. We saw the Chaf Beis, Chaf Gimel, Chaf Dalet, Chaf Hei, Chaf Dalet, all about the inyan of the different kufis of a person's gidul. We have a tkufa of Hevel Piyam Shlati Noikes, which is a tkufa of Tahara in Klal Yisrael. This is like the Malach that teaches you in the Guf. There's a tkufa of Yeled, of Chinuch HaYeled, where that's till the Bar Mitzvah, where the child is not, he doesn't have a Yetzer Tov. We spoke about it last time. And then afterwards, when the Yetzer Tov comes back in again, and so on. I wanted this pattern of having something that is pure, then having the Ra mixed in, and then the Tikkun, follows a certain pattern. In other words, we need to put down a Sheirish that's Toiv. We then must come into contact with, and into active contact with that which is Ra in the world, and then it finally the second Toiv. The reason for those first two stages are as follows. If there wouldn't be a tkufa of pure Toiv, then you'd never be able to overcome the Ra that's afterwards. If you wouldn't have the Ra that's afterwards, you'd never be able to be mesakin that Ra. In other words, the only way there could be a tikkun on Ra is if you actually connect with it. There has to be some sort of chibur. And if there's no such chibur, then it's not going to affect it. An outsider cannot really vanquish a different force. You can fight against it, you can win against it, but to totally eradicate it has to be mineu bei shadi bei narga. There has to be something that within together. Those are, and then eventually, and then finally, obviously, the tkufa when everything is good. I want to talk a little bit. This is the last time we'll be learning till after Pesach, Mitz Hashem. So I'd like to speak a little bit about a Pesach inyan. I want to start with Rav Hutner's Maimer. It's Maimer Ayin Aleph in Pesach. And he says the following, he makes the following point. He brings a raya from a Chazan Ish that there's never Simchas Yontif on the night of a Yontif. All the Korb, the Shalmi Simcha all have to be brought on the day. And therefore, the Mitzvah Din Simcha is only Shaykh the day. He brings a Chazan Ish that Yotze Min HaKlal is the first night of Pesach. Since we have Korbanos HaChag, and those Korbanos, we have the Korban Pesach that we're bringing. So b'meila, there's a din simcha, person is yaitzah simcha with it. I didn't see it as a sign, but basically quotes, there's a din, there's a kiyum of simcha HaChag with that. And Rav Hutner raises the question as to why is it that you have that unique din only on Leil Pesach. He also points out the Gemara in Brachis, where it says the Geula was at night, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Klal Yisrael, when Paro told Klal Yisrael, get going, I want you out of here, whereas the Yetzias Mitzrayim wasn't until the next day. So it's sort of the Geula of Mitzrayim basically split into two segments. The segment that's called Geula Proper, and that was at night, and the segment that's called Yetzias Mitzrayim, that was during the day. It's very, very strange chalukah. It's one thing, if you just look at it, I guess I would coin a phrase and call it Geula Rechta. That's how the Geula took place, that's how it happened. But what does it mean that the Geula split into two, and each one has its own kviyas shem, Each one is its own entity, its own mitzvahs. Why? I mean, what kind of mahalach is that? So Rav Futner writes as follows, that Klal Yisrael, until the Geula of Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael had impurities in itself. Klal Yisrael was not totally Toiv. The reason why we went into Golos Mitzrayim, Chazal tell us, is because it was like a Korazov. It was a furnace, a blast furnace, that purified us. We had Chamushim Olu. There was a big segment of Klal Yisrael that wasn't part of what Klal Yisrael was supposed to Etzim be. So we did not, we in Klal Yisrael did not have our pure selves. It stopped at the night of the, it stopped at night. As soon as Pirate told them to go, they were Geulim, they were Nig'olim, and then Bemela, from that point onwards, they no longer had impurities. They were a nation ready to go as they were. In the morning, as soon as they started going, it says that Erev Rav Allah Imohem. There was Erev Rav, a mixture of other nations that went with them together out of Mitzrayim. So that means in the morning, and from the moment of Yitzia Mitzrayim, we have Erev Rav. The Pasuk speaks about the Erev Rav of Allah Imohem. So this Erev Rav that went up with them came during the day, and once again, Klal Yisrael was not whole. They had a lot of things mixed in with them, and they weren't themselves. The only period of time in Klal Yisrael's history that they were totally pristine, Klal Yisrael and only Klal Yisrael, without the mixed in impurities of before, and without the mixed impurities of afterwards, was in that period of time between Geula and Yetzia. And that's why you needed this special moment, and and that's why it's a Zman Simcha, a special Zman Simcha, because it's an incredible Zman that was never duplicated in Klal Yisrael's history. That's Rav Futner's Shtickel Torah describes this period of time. Maimon was parenthetically, I'd like to add something to it. Why Taka did the Erev Rav come late? I mean, yeah, the Hashgacha led that way, and I understand that. The Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted we should be pure. That's true. That's the point we're going to talk about. But it's not interesting that. So I think it has something to do with the Etzem Mitzias of Ra and where they could be knit back to Klal Yisrael. Ra's Shrashim can be very deep. They're never as deep as Klal Yisrael. So when Klal Yisrael begins to do something, when Klal Yisrael is Allah, so as soon as they do something, the Erev Rav sticks onto it. The Erev Rav recognizes the Metzias of Klal Yisrael as a Metzias when it is in motion. When it's not in motion, so all you have is Klal Yisrael, just the Metzias before it's in motion. It's the essential Metzias of Klal Yisrael before it expressed itself in any activity. To recognize that, you need to have, that's only Shayach to Klal Yisrael, that's only Shayach to Klal Yisrael. Umas HaOlam don't have that, the ability to be oimed on the essence without the activity. So that's a Maimon Muska's parenthetic remark, commenting on what Rav Huda said. But let's go back to our Inyaneinu. So Klal Yisrael has, in its Metzias, three periods. It has that one night of pristine purity, just Klal Yisrael at its best, everybody who's roi to Geula. Then you have Erev Rav latching on for the longest of times. And then you have Blessed Lover, the Geula. It's very hard not to feel this Nekuda, because what was this? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it that way? We explain now how that works, that Dul Klal Yisrael doesn't move, Ra doesn't detect it as a Klal Yisrael. But why do it that way? Why go through all that trouble, so to speak, to have that one night free of neither the impurities from before nor the Erev Rav? And the answer is, I think, that this Mahalak that Ramchal is talking about. You needed to have a moment of purity. That's like the Malach coming and learning. That's like the Hevel Piyam that he's speaking about over here. There's a certain Nekuda of unadulterated Taif in Klal Yisrael. Then, if you wouldn't have had the Erev Rav, if you wouldn't have had the Ra interwoven with Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael would never be able to be mafkia the Ra for the world. So it's true that we don't go around looking tikkun for tikkun olam and where we could fix the world, but we are. But whatever Ra we come in contact with, within ourselves, any Ra like that that we come in contact with ourselves, when we eradicate it, that becomes misukin. So whatever it was, Klal Yisrael needed to work with whatever's in it, but they needed a period before that to bring out the type. So the pattern of Golus and Gulus Mitzrayim follows the same type of pattern. It's something that is, there's a lot of talk in the Sefarim about Klal Yisrael went into Golus only to bring out the Shamas from there. And the question is, so the Erev Rav, as difficult as they are, it says like Nigul Klal Yisrael Ella for the Shamas that are for the Shamas, for the Tzaitis, however you want to call it. And the point is that had we not gone in and connected with them, we could not have been mashpi on them. The Klal Gadol is whatever you don't have a connection to, you don't have a shpah. A person doesn't have the right to do these things himself. But if the hashgacha had led that people should come down to, if the hashgacha led it that way, we can in retrospect understand that hashgacha. So, if you take a look in this, in Lashon Chof Dalet, he says, "V'zel mipi oylem v'yoygim yisarata oiz." So from oylem and yoygim, from this hevel pihem, from this pure nekuda, the Klal Yisrael has draws the strength. Humamish yisarata v'zel leman seirecho shem eirav rav lahashvis oyev shasitracha lahashvis mamish. So this is the process where we latch on to the Tzairecha, that's the Erev Rav, and the Hashbis Oyev, Mamish. So he says Mefurish that Tzairecha is going on the Erev Rav. Let's explain one more point about this Serech being Erev Rav, where it's coming from. The word Sarah is used most specifically for something that is close. An Oyev is somewhere out there. A Tzara, the best example of a Tzara is a woman who is married to your husband. Co-wife, I guess, is I don't know what the English term is, but your co-wife is called a Tzara. A Tzara that's very far away is not a Tzara. An Oyev or a Soine can be living very far away. But a Tzara, by definition, is when it's interacting with you. The word Tzara comes from the word Tsar, which means narrow. It's something which has in itself, it means that me and it together don't have enough room. It's by definition something that I'm closely bound up with. So that's the Erev Rav is called Seirecha, because they are the real Tzara to Klal Yisrael. Nasu Tzara Zula Zu means they become friction one with another. The word Tzara means friction, and friction is possible only in close proximity. So Klal Yisrael needed to have this nekuda of Hevel Piyam, of purity, in order to be able to overcome this the Erev Rav that had been part and parcel of them. So that was the same pattern. You find it, Lamashal, the Tkufa of Midbar is called Zachata Chesed Neurayich. There's that element of it being the young years that was that Tkufa. I guess to apply it a minute or two, Pesach is harder sometimes to apply to ourselves than Yom Kippur or Shon Kippur. We deal immediately with our immediate chatayim. Here we're talking about things that are broader. We're talking about the fact that when we speak about Golas, Geula, etc. A, we're talking first about a pure Nekuda that's there before anything else happened. I want to explain that point, because this is going to be parallel to what he speaks about, that first Nekuda. I want to explain why it's true on a personal level. The Maral says, it says if Klal Yisrael would have it would have been in the Nun Shar Tuma, there wouldn't be any Geula. So the question is, like, Hashem was Maftiach. So why wouldn't there be any Geula? So the Maral says, Geula means Lakachas Goy Mikarev Goy. I'm taking A out of B. Even though they're very similar and they're very intertwined, I'm taking A out of B. If A becomes B, it's not Shaykh to have any Geula. Because what I'm doing is taking a nation and separating it into two. If somebody were to take Americans, the fifth generation Americans, and separate out, take out the Ukrainians, they're not the Ukrainians. Fifth generation and the second generation are Americans. I could recreate an Ummah, a semi-new Ummah, but it's not the old one. Geula means I take out that Nekuda. In order to have Geula, I need to have something that's definable as being its metzias. So a Jew can be very, it could be not very observant, it could be very assimilated, but unless there's a distinguishing nekuda, a certain agdara of the person as a yid, he's not it is not Geula. So in Geulas Mitzrayim, we got a Hagadara that identifies us as Yidden no matter what. That Hagadara of what we are, that came first, and that remained even after whatever we went through. Once we had a firm Hagadara, and that's independent of what we do, so now anything that we interact with, at the end of time, even if it's Ra and we suffer through it, at the end of the process, it's going to come round and it's going to become a Sukkah again. So in as much as there's a Chiyuv, the Fikoch, Chayev Adam, Lirus HaSatzma, Kil Yotzim Mitzrayim, so there's obviously the Chiyuv is on the personal, on the suffering and so on. You know, I'm not coming to be Mafkia from the Pshuta Shel Mikra, but in every person's life, there certainly are these different phases. If a person sees himself as being, whether it's parallel or similar, parallel to this process, so a person identifies in himself a chelik that never ever got caught up in chait. And that's one nekuda you must identify in yourself in order to be mashpis. The oyev, you know, and tzarech and oyev, a person needs to identify them. Oylem b'yankir satoyz, the makom of where the person understands that, believes that. I want to go off again a moment on a bit of a tangent. When we speak about matzah as being pashut and amunah pshuta, and believing the way a Yid believes and so on, where the what we would call emunah pshuta would be the level of belief that a young child has. And the level of belief a young child has is not because there's any cheshbon involved. He doesn't have that ability to make cheshbon. It's because that's his metzias. Whatever that nekuda comes into a person young, because this becomes his metzias rather than than something else adopted because Seichel said it's good. When Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, the Lashonis of the Sfarim speak about a very immature mind, Meich Nekatnus. It's something which they the Korban Pesach looked like a child, a kid, literally, because that's what it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be a young, immature person. We did not have the cerebral knowledge that Matan Torah gave us. We were a child, and as a child, these inyanim of Mitzrayim impressed themselves upon us, which means it reached a point in our neshama, a depth that precedes questions and things of that nature. Let's explain this point. Our understanding of things does not start from scratch. There are obviously inborn patterns of understanding. Okay, I get that. But more than that, in my younger years, I gather up a lot of things that I accept. For instance, a child growing up in America accepts that it is normal to eat with a fork and a knife. He may not do it. He may not want to do it, but that's normal. He doesn't walk around the table pestering people and asking them constantly, why are you eating with a fork and a knife? As soon as he's told to do it, and he sees him do it, that's automatic. On the other hand, when somebody comes to the house and is eating with a chopstick, the kid is all over him. What are you eating? Why are you doing this? What's this? You know, and so on. The inyanim that we pick up in that early stage remain unquestioned. They remain a metzias. This is what I feel instinctively is right. This is the closest I get to my shrashim. So that's the mahalach of the type of the Muna Pshuta that a person got in Yitzis Mitzrayim, the process of going out of Mitzrayim. Zekel Vavir Rosh Shivcha Bayom. But as soon as the Erev Rav joined in, as soon as we began to have more to deal with, now we needed to have the Chachmas HaTorah to be able to deal with it that way. It had to be something which would give us a Havana, a Tam and a Havana to those in Yonim that was sort of part of our essence and instinctive. Akaponim. So the different Tkufis, the person goes through three Tkufis, however you want to frame it. One is an Akud of Tara. One is a mingling with the Kofos of Ra and difficult, and that takes the best majority of our time. And then there's a point of Geula afterwards. But the understanding the two points, we must precede any work of wrestling with Ra with a Nekuda of Tara. And secondly, even though when we grapple with Ra, sometimes we have a sense of Lo Yehein Velo Yischara, like what do I need it for? I have such a hard time with it. I'm barely keeping afloat, so why would I want to, you know, what am I getting out of it? The answer is Lekach Nitzarta. A person was put in this world to bring Ra back. That's what Hashem wanted as well. We can't do it, pre-planned. A person is not supposed to mazal sakana. A person is not supposed to go out and look for Ra and so on. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings it to us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we get entangled. However, it's Masa'olam, whether it's people we know, or whatever it is. And therefore, we need to be able to understand that despite the fact we spend so much time struggling with Ra, still at the end of the day, that's the struggle with the Ra enables us to bring Ra around. If we wouldn't touch base with them, then they would never come around. So I'll call upon him, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us, whatever Erev Rav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lands on us, the tachlis of that Erev Rav is to bring the Ra back together again. Lakpon Goylem should have Chakar Shasameach, and Mirza Shem, Kesu Chalish Eir time, we'll resume the share again. Call to Magdalene.